This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. There's more at the website, allbookheavenbooks.com. This week, just musing, as the writings often are, following the little hook and going where it goes. So I was putting my cello into the cello case because I just barely know how to play, and sometimes it's really hard to tune, and I haven't played in a while, so I'm putting the cello in the cello case to bring it to the cello teacher because she could tune it in like a minute or two. And that got me thinking how sort of transcends time and space. It has to do with the experience and knowledge. Like, she's going to be able to do it in a couple of minutes, what I might be able to, I might spend half an hour and not get it done or break the strings. And similarly, if someone, you know, shows me a haiku or a poem or something, I can go over it and make some suggestions pretty quick. Anybody with a craft or a skill or some know-how, with some know-how can do things faster and more efficiently. And virtual guaranteed done. And in the previous week, in another episode talking about Amazon and trying to buy books here, not always knowing where you're getting it from and all the deception, books have that layer. They are ideas and things that have been put, somebody's thought about or manipulated and put onto paper, and then people read them, and sometimes it's baloney, it's bogus, but people believe it because it has the authoritativeness of a book. And then too with the language, certain people, I see somebody speak on a topic or I read something and I think that's pretty good, but then somebody else, they know the sort of inside scoop or something, and they're able to say, oh yeah, but they left out this bit. So I think part of what that's pointing to is how we see, a lot of times we are seeing things partially, either by deliberate obfuscation, I think that's a word, obfuscation, or by negligence or just ignorance. And if we just lap it up and go for it, hook, line, and sinker, we can be deceived and walk around with false knowledge and false information. Which is a little side note, which is much of the educational system. But so what's the antidote is to be open-minded, to inquire, to be skeptical, to be cynical. To a certain degree, I call it healthy skepticism. When I read stuff and this and that, I don't trust a lot of stuff until I find out more what's going on. That doesn't make me, like, you know, negative cynical. I'm just, you know, until it's shown clearly why I believe it. I think that's what even the Buddha said. Don't believe me. Don't, just because I say it doesn't mean squat. Just, you know, you got to have your own experience. So in some way, literature is very personal. It's like it's like somebody talking to you. It's a quiet moment. I was at a coffee place and a young woman I saw, she caught my eye because she was wearing a yellow jacket, and I had a dream a few nights ago about a woman and something to do with the anima, the Jungian anima, and the yellow jacket. So I was like, she's interesting. So when I came out of the bathroom, I saw she was reading Braiding Sweetgrass, which is an excellent book by Robin Wall Kimmerer she's a native, I think Potawatomi, if that's how you pronounce it. And it's very lush. It has some of the highlights. It talks about the harvest and the way of giving and sharing. I remember some of the advice was like, you know, when you're out looking for herbs or berries or something, you don't pick the first one and you don't pick the last one. So it's chock full of good stuff. But anyway, I saw her and I said, oh, that's a good book. And I could tell she seemed kind of shy, quiet. So I didn't push the conversation, because normally I would want to talk for half an hour with somebody. But anyway, then I said, oh, here's my card, because I do writing, and I don't know what you like to read, but whatever. So that's part of my promotion, is I give out my business card when it feels appropriate, because I don't do advertising just hasn't much ever worked, and I pay for it. So I push myself to do little PR stuff without seeming too pushy, because I don't want to be like the guy on 42nd Street Times Square handing out the discount to the porno thing. Check it out, man. Check it out. Check it out. I don't know if they still do that, but I remember that in my teens or whatever. Check it out, man. Check it out. Which is fine. No, I have no problem if you want to check it out. So here it is. It's like, I don't know, five, six, seven minutes. And I didn't plan any of this stuff. So that's my suggestion for getting lit with literature for the writing process, is to just go for it. That's one of the big things I learned from Ray Bradbury, one of my guiding lights, is once you get a word or a hook or a phrase or an image or a feeling, you just go for it. You don't stop and think about it too much. That's just one thing. It's just an idea, because you will squelch your own, what he referred to as kind of like a storehouse. Everybody's got like this storehouse of images and memories and associations and feelings, so that once you start talking or writing or whatever it is, you know, making a movie, I don't know, I guess it applies to the other arts, but for writing, once you start, then all kinds of stuff comes into play that won't happen if you squelch it. So this, you know, this started with just this, to me, was like, wow, that's cool. I mean, I've thought about that before. This person can do something in a minute that could take me an hour and maybe not do it all day. So I wasn't sure where that literary hook was going with that, but as far as tying it into this actual podcast, but I just decided to go with it, and I am pleased that I had something to say, to share, and perhaps encourage people. Because I think that's the, you know, just the fun of the creativity and the associations happen, and you learn stuff. I learn stuff. I learn stuff, and when I write, I learn from the writing. It's like the writing is teaching me to some degree. It's not like, oh, look, he has all those ideas. Those ideas a lot of times come to me while writing or while talking, and I think that allows for the openness and the spontaneity that is very much like a little that I know of quantum physics, which native people talk a lot about, that their consciousness is like that, where everything is in flux, and that there's all these possibilities happening, and you don't really know what the next moment is going to be like. That's the true nature of being and of the way the energies of the world are, then just jumping in and going with stuff is participating in that stream. And it is along the lines of not having a predetermined agenda with what everything is. And much of literature is a predetermined agenda, where people have a predetermined point to make, which sometimes may work, but what I'm referring to is kind of like, I was listening to a talk by John Trudell, and he mentioned the difference between the perception of reality that indigenous peoples have for thousands and thousands of years, as the earth as mother and providing, and everything is integrated and related, and everyone's getting along pretty good, and that's what's providing the nourishment, and how that got superseded by the Judeo-Christian storyline, and that became that the property then became like God. Like that's in the, you know, the Genesis, and to have dominion over the earth. So the earth became a property to be commodified, and that was the God that superseded the no agenda. As another native friend says, there's no agenda. Nature has no agenda. So the openness to what is going on in day-to-day life, and being open to where the possibilities and where it's going, is both applicable to life in general, lifestyle, and to the arts. And so that's the message for today. And I learned from that as well, to think, you know, wow, life, art, but those are those two separate things too? Or is art just a part of the flow? I mean, the other day I wrote a poem, I heard the thunder for the first time, which I make note every year because that's like the waking up of the land and the season begins. And so when I wrote a poem about the thunders putting everyone on notice, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, that was a cool poem, but did I write it? I feel like I was just the mouthpiece. I was conveying a message from the thunder and the season of spring, where things are waking up and emerging. So in a way, as much as I'm pleased with that, you know, quote, I wrote a good poem, it just kind of happened. And later reflecting on it, my feeling is that, you know, I felt better that I'm being a mouthpiece for that message, which affects, you know, that affects everyone, the whole earth and everyone. This thunder is waking stuff up. So that's way bigger than a poem. So poem, art, life, intertwinings and musings. All right. This could go on and on, but, you know, there's a point where stream of consciousness begins to go off on tangents somewhat a bit. Like, I do like jazz music, but sometimes it rambles on too much for me. So before I ramble on too much, enjoy the day, evening, and be well. Thanks for listening.